Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this presentation of the third quarter of Fragbite Group. My name is Marcus Teilman, and I'm the CEO of Fragbite Group. I became the CEO in late May this year, and prior to becoming the CEO, I was the deputy CEO for over a year. Looking at the agenda for today, I will start off with going through some highlights during the third quarter. Then I will move on and present the company and all our subsidiaries. After that, I will give you an operational update, then moving on to the financials and an outlook, and then we will be rounding off with a Q&A session, and you can ask questions in the form that you have online. So let's start with the highlights of the third quarter. First of all, the net revenues increased sequentially. From last quarter, we saw an increase in revenues of roughly 33% compared to previous quarter, meaning Q2 2022. And compared to last year, Q3, we saw an increase of net revenues of 63%. But keep in mind that in the quarter last year, we didn't have Lucky Kat in the comparative numbers, since Lucky Kat was acquired in Q4 last year. But overall, I'm happy to see that that quite a stable growth from previous quarter this year. And the main drivers for the revenue growth was primarily the launch of MMA Manager 2, and also the token sale that we had in WAGMI. We also in the quarter obtained a virtual asset service provider registration in Gibraltar by the Gibraltar Financial Services Commission. I will come back and talk a little bit more about that, but I think it underlines the serious commitment that we have within Web3. After that, after we obtained that registration, we also sold tokens of roughly $3.35 million. We have also announced that we will increase our porting capabilities within our publishing and indie game segment in Playdigious. I'll talk more about that in the operational update. In the third quarter, we're actually now beginning of the fourth quarter, we saw the release of Spiritfarer that was exclusively released on Netflix, and I think that's a great milestone for the group and for the company Playdigious, and it also underlines the quality in their business. Now in the third quarter and also now in October, here in the fourth quarter, we saw the establishment of the new esports tournament, the Swedish CS:GO Cup, and the finals took place here at the Space Arena, where I'm actually sitting right now. From an operational point of view, it was a fantastic. We saw fantastic numbers, where we saw 3 million started or initiated streams and approximately 1.7 million unique viewers. And like I said, on the 30th of June, we launched MMA Manager 2: Ultimate Fight. So we had the first full quarter here in the third quarter, we saw promising numbers. I will be coming back to that later on. The EBITDA also increased from last year, from 2.8 million to 5.1 million Swedish kronor now in the third quarter, 2022, and adjusted numbers last year was 3 million Swedish kronor. So Fragbite Group, what is Fragbite Group? Let's start with the parent company, Fragbite Group. We became a listed company in July last year when we did our IPO. We are active within both the gaming and the esports segments. We have in-house mobile gaming studios, we have in-house porting capabilities, and we have also Web3 gaming segment, also including hyper-casual games. With Fragbite AB, we are also active in the esports business. And like I said, we recently established the Swedish CS:GO Cup, but we have also established a Swedish Chess League in collaboration with the Swedish Chess Federation. And on top of this, we add M&A as a component for our long-term growth to combine both organic growth initiatives and acquisitive growth. The organization, we have five subsidiaries. We're located here in Sweden. We have offices in France, in the Netherlands, in Gibraltar, and in Egypt. And approximately, we're roughly 80 people in total. Here's an overview of our subsidiaries and the logos of our subsidiaries. We have Fragbite, a Swedish company that was founded in 2002, and that's where our name of the parent group comes from. We also have a French company, Playdigious, like I said, Lucky Kat. And through Lucky Kat, we have also founded a new subsidiary in Gibraltar called WAGMI. We're not showing the WAGMI logo here because we are instead showing the logos of the IPs that we are operating under the WAGMI company. And in Sweden, we also have Funrock and Prey Studios that merged in 2020. Moving on and looking at Lucky Kat, that's a company that was founded in 2015, and that was acquired by Fragbite Group in Q4 last year. Originally, it started off as a hyper-casual studio. It still operates a lot of hyper-casual games. The team consists of more than 20 people. They have their office in The Hague, Netherlands, and they have more than 25 hyper-casual games that have shown fantastic numbers, I would say. Over 200 million downloads to date so far. Through Lucky Kat, we have also founded WAGMI, a company established in Gibraltar that we established earlier this year, where we are currently running two Web3 projects. The first one is Panzerdogs, and the second one is Cosmocadia. In Q2, or in Q3, actually, we obtained the Virtual Asset Service Provider registration, as I said, and we obtained that registration from the Gibraltar Financial Services Commission. And like I said, it shows our long-term commitment to becoming a serious Web3 player. This is a regulation that is in place already in our company. We are complying with all the Know Your Customer requirements, AML policies, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that we're also well prepared for any potential coming EU regulation in this field. During the third quarter, we also had token sales, where we attracted renowned investors in this segment, where they invested roughly $3.35 million in our first so-called strategic round. And I will soon be giving some more details about that token sale later on in the operational update. In addition, we are also having a partnership with The Sandbox, that I think that we can increase even further and potentially see even more collaborations in the future. In France, we have Playdigious. That's a company that was founded in 2015. We acquired Playdigious in the second quarter last year. They have three offices in France, one in Paris, one in Montpellier, and one in Nancy, and the team consists of more than 20 people. What they do is that they take successful and traditional PC titles, and they port them and develop a mobile version, adapt the games into mobile versions, and publish them on many different platforms. We have seen great success in China, for example, with Dead Cells. So, and that's not easy to have a game being approved by the Chinese authorities and to have the game published over there. So we're not only publishing our games through Playdigious in Europe, but also in the rest of the world and in Asia. They have roughly 20 games in their portfolio. In Sweden, we have Fragbite AB that was acquired during the first quarter last year and pre-IPO. After the acquisition, then Fragbite Group, or the parent company, actually changed name to Fragbite Group. Fragbite AB, they have their office here in Stockholm. They have been running for actually 20 years, so they're celebrating 20 years this year. They are a full-service esports agency offering hosting, publishing, and marketing within esports. They're the largest esports community in the Nordics. And like I said, they're also the owner and the creator of the Swedish CS:GO Cup, that was that where we had the finals now in October. In Sweden also, we have FunRock and Prey Studios. FunRock was founded in 2008, while Prey Studios was founded in 2011. The two studios merged in 2020. And that's also when our new strategy from Fragbite Group AB took place, when adding also the M&A component, et cetera, et cetera. The team consists of approximately 20 people, both here in Sweden, but also in Alexandria in Egypt. They primarily focus on mobile games, especially now the MMA Manager game engine. But the game engine itself is actually adapted to potentially launching sequels in other sports as well in the future. All right, so let's move on to the operational update. And let's start with Web3 gaming. If we look at the completed activities, like I said, we obtained the virtual assets service provider registration in Gibraltar. We had a token sale of $3.35 million. And worth mentioning here is that the revenues from the token sale will be deferred income over the coming 3 years. So now in the third quarter, we only saw a small portion of that token sale in the P&L statement. We also have the Web3 game Panzerdogs. And what is actually Web3? Well, it started off in December last year when we had a so-called NFT sale. NFT stands for non-fungible tokens, where people could buy their own dog avatars, and you actually own your own dog avatar that you can actually sell. And that's a big difference compared to Web2 gaming, if I want to generalize a little bit on how Web3 gaming is, what it is all about. We have also seen a continued partnership with the Sandbox, and I hope that we will continue that partnership and potentially increase that partnership going forward as well. Looking at the upcoming activities in the Web3 segment, well, we have already announced that we will also release a second Web3 game called Cosmocadia. With Cosmocadia, there will be the same mechanisms there, or it will start off with an NFT sale of avatars in Cosmocadia. We are also looking into more token sales. It will start off with a private round and then later on an IDO, initial decentralized offering. And while we have that in place, then we will also release the full version of the mobile game, the mobile version of Panzerdogs. As you might have seen, the market is very volatile at the moment and is shifting. So we're closely monitoring the market to make sure that when we are doing these NFT sales and the token sales, we're looking at it to monitoring the market in order to make sure that we optimize the best outcome for the company in the long term, as well as on the short term. We have, through the token sale, also laid a foundation for creating a portfolio token. And what is a portfolio token? Well, first of all, from this strategic round of $3.35 million that I talked about, we sold 239 million tokens. The plan and the goal is to sell another 335 million tokens in a combination in the private round and then the IDO going forward. And again, the timing for this, we have to come back with that, but we are monitoring the market on a day-to-day basis. And as I said, the long-term goal is to have a platform where also not only our own Web3 games are utilizing or can utilize this portfolio token. It can also be external game studios that want to utilize our portfolio token as well. So this could also create long-term transactional income from trades in our ecosystem. Playdigious, a again, they are showing great momentum, I would say. If we look historically on Playdigious financials, we have seen that they have had a stable growth in both revenues and profitability. Therefore, it actually it feels that it's natural for us as the new owners of Playdigious to even increase their organic growth initiatives further. So what we have communicated is that we will invest more into their business in order to acquire more IPs and increase their porting capabilities and production capabilities. During the third quarter, we have also announced that Evil Land 2 has been approved for release in China. The release date is still not officially set, but the release of the game will be during the winter, the coming winter. And also in the beginning of October, I was very proud to see that the game Spiritfarer was exclusively launched on Netflix platform. And I think that this also really underlines the quality in Playdigious business. We have also announced that Little Nightmares will be scheduled for release in Q1 2023. But all in all, again, solid quarter by Playdigious. Fragbite AB, like I said, here now in October, but it's also started off in August already. We have established a new tournament called the Swedish CS:GO Cup in collaboration with both Bonnier and Space. So, two great companies to collaborate with. We saw a sold-out finals here at Space Arena. The tournament ran from August to October, and we saw Ninjas in Pyjamas winning the first edition of the Swedish CS:GO Cup. They won the final over Eyeballers with 2-0. There was also a live broadcast that could be watched online on Twitch, where we saw 3 million initiated streams and approximately 1.6 million unique viewers. So, it was really, really encouraging to see the underlying operational success of this tournament. And I think that this is a great foundation to build upon going forward with Fragbite. I hope that we can come back to that in the next quarterly report as well. But all in all, I'm really, really happy to see that we have created this new IP. And it also shows that Fragbite is a serious player within esports in Sweden. And I hope that we can look into geographical expansion in the future as well. And then FunRock and Prey Studios, finally, they launched MMA Manager 2 on the 30th of June. So we had the first full quarter now in Q3 with MMA Manager 2 published. Early numbers shows that all the underlying KPIs are showing a positive trend compared to MMA 1 or the original title, MMA Manager 2021. We see that the retention rates and also average revenue per user have increased compared to the original title. So that's really encouraging to see. Of course, that has had an impact on the growth on top line now in Q3 compared to Q2 this year. Now in Q4, we will spend less on user acquisition, meaning marketing spend, in order to increase gross profit. We are implementing some new functionality in order to increase retention rates and average revenue per user, and then again, scale up on marketing early next year. But all in all, I'm really, really happy to see that the first indicative numbers on the game and also the indicative underlying key performance indicators. So really looking forward going forward to see how the game will continue to perform. All right, so let's jump into the financials. Now, in the third quarter 2022, we saw net revenues of 71.9 million Swedish kronor compared to 44.1 million Swedish kronor last year. Keep in mind that in the comparative figures for last year, Lucky Kat was not included in last year numbers. EBITDA increased from 2.8 million to 5 million Swedish kronor now in the third quarter 2022, and adjusted numbers last year was 3 million, so going from 3 million to 5.1 million this year. EBIT was negative of 17.1 million Swedish kronor, but keep in mind that we also had goodwill amortizations of 20.8 million Swedish kronor. That's because we are using accounting standards K3 here in Sweden. Should we adapt or change our accounting principles or be on IFRS, then we wouldn't have seen these goodwill amortizations of 20.8 million Swedish kronor. Then instead we would have impairment tests to look at our assets all the time and revalue our assets all the time. For the first nine months of 2022, we had net revenues of 180.9 million Swedish kronor compared to 63.7 million for the first nine months last year. Adjusted EBITDA increased from -0.6 million Swedish kronor to 7 million Swedish kronor for the first nine months this year. Looking at the cash flow, we saw cash flow from operating activities on a positive 16.5 million Swedish kronor. As you can see in the graph, we have had a stable positive development of cash flow from operating activities from Q3 last year to Q3 this year. Q2, previous quarter this year, we had positive 11.4 million Swedish kronor in operating cash flow, and now it increased further to 16.5 million in the third quarter 2022. Cash flow from investment activities amounted to -62.1 million Swedish kronor, and that is related to the additional purchase price payment or the earn-out payments to both Lucky Kat and to Playdigious that took place now in the third quarter. Cash flow from financing activities increased by 8.9 million Swedish kronor, and total cash flow was negative 36.8 million Swedish kronor. Cash position at the end of the period was positive 24.5 million. All right. First of all, to sum up the third quarter, I'm happy to see the sequential growth from the previous quarter to now the third quarter. I'm extra happy to see that all the underlying activities actually that we can see that it has an impact on the financial figures as well. I would say that all our operating units are working under high pace at the moment, and I'm curious to see how this will where this will take us in the long term. I'm confident that we will continue to increase our long-term growth under profitability. I would also like to highlight that we have really made some strategic investments into the Web3 space, both with the registration as a virtual asset service provider. Being a regulated company in Web3 is the future. I think that we have a solid Web3 offering as well. We also have an ambitious pipeline of upcoming activities and the game releases. I look forward to coming back to you and announce more titles and activities, hopefully shortly. Also, as we have communicated in all our reports, I would say we have a continued strong M&A pipeline, and we are always evaluating and sourcing or scouting for new M&A leads. It's always a matter of negotiations and finding the right targets and so on, but we're out there scouting. On the other hand, I don't feel stressed that we need to do M&A activities. M&A activities should only be done when we see that there is a strategic fit, the price is right, and also the timing is right. With that, I'd like to start off or hand over to the Q&A session. I see that we have a lot of questions coming up. So first question is that last time you presented, you mentioned a new focus on the big streamers. Given Little Nightmares has just been nominated Netflix Game of the Year, how is the pipeline looking for future titles? And is that a better route than standalone games? Well, I can't comment on whether we might have new games on streaming platforms, but what I can say is that we have high ambitions in the group. So of course we are looking into, and I mean, we would like to release more titles on streaming platforms such as Netflix, for example. If this is a better route than standalone games, well, I would say that it's a mix. The risk in the business itself to just signing a game and release it on streaming platforms, that gives you some kind of financial stability. But if you combine that with our other business, such as the Web3 gaming, our esports business, for example, and now also the promising numbers from MMA Manager 2, I think that there we actually have an interesting mix in our company. Okay, next question. You say focus is on increasing ARPU, which is average revenue per user for MMA 2. That is good, but can you share any data as of now so that we can compare with other games? Given Apple have highlighted the game twice, it seems to be going well. Well, I can't give you any numbers, but what I can say is that when looking at the retention rates, we're definitely in line or perhaps slightly better than compared to the general sports genre for mobile games. You can actually have a look at the Redeye Commission research report, and there you can actually see some retention rates, and that can give you some kind of indication on the retention rates. For the ARPU, like I said, the ARPU has increased compared to MMA 1. We might share some more data in detail when publishing our year-end report in February next year. I think it's a little bit too early for sharing that data at the moment. All right, next question. What type of companies are we looking at and actively engaged with when it comes to M&A? Well, we are looking in both the gaming segment and in the esports segment. I would say that the primary target is to acquire companies that are cash flow positive, and they have a solid foundation with a high strategic capital in the company and a lot of know-how. Of course, I'd be happy to see our own publishing capabilities for MMA Manager 2, of course, or for our own developed IPs. That would be fantastic to have. But I would say in general, to see companies that could fit strategically in the group. Looking at the esports segment, for example, perhaps companies where we could increase or expand into new markets as well, that would be of interest. All right, next question is, could you provide any information regarding the revenue mix in the quarter? You invested around 10 million in intangible assets in the period, excluding M&A, an uptick versus last quarters. Is that due to higher investments in Playdigious or something else? Could you quantify the FX effects in the quarter? Let's start with the revenue mix. I can't give you any details, unfortunately, how the revenue mix is looking. What I can say is that Playdigious have the largest share of the revenues, and we have seen an increase in the revenues from FunRock and Prey Studios. And of course, the revenues from our Web3 segment has, of course, increased as well, thanks to the token sale. And the next question here in the same one was regarding the investments. Well, we have invested in FunRock and Prey, and also building up new IPs. So, yeah, that's investments in new IPs. Could you quantify the FX effects in the quarter? No, I actually can't quantify, but what I can say is that we have seen positive effects on our P&L statement. We also see a positive translation effects on our balance sheet. But on the other hand, we're somewhat hedged to euro, since we have part of our bank debts in euro. So to some extent, we are hedged to FX effects. Perhaps we can be stating the FX effects a little bit more in detail to the next report. I don't have the figure in front of me at the moment, unfortunately. All right, I think that was the last question in the Q&A session. The next financial report will actually be in February next year. Perhaps I look a little bit sad because it's 3 months to presenting that report, but hopefully I can be coming back to you with some exciting news and announcements prior to that. If you've read the report, you see that we have a lot of activities going on in the group, and we have some not yet announced game titles to be announced. So for sure, you will be hearing back or reading more about the company before that. The year-end report of 2022 will be presented and published on the 23rd of February next year. So with that, I thank you everyone for listening and for the questions that you have asked, and looking forward to see you soon again.